Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Part 3, Chapter Summaries. Chapter 14, The Material World as the Great Forest of Enjoyment. The direct meaning of the forest of material existence is given in this chapter. Merchants sometimes enter the forest in order to collect many rare things and sell them at a good profit in the city. But the forest path is always bedecked with dangers. When the pure soul wants to give up the Lord's service to enjoy the material world, Krishna certainly gives one a chance to enter the material world. As stated in the Prema Vivarta, Krishna bahir mukha hoy bhoga vancha kare. This is the reason the pure spirit soul falls down to the material world. In this regard, Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Nana yoni sada fire. The living entity passes through various species. Kadarya bhakshana kare. He or she is then obliged to eat and enjoy many abominable things. Tar janma adhapate yai. In this way, one's whole life is spoiled. Without the protection of the all-merciful Vaishnava, the conditioned soul cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Manak shashtan indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. The living entity begins material life with the mind and the five knowledge acquiring senses, and with these one struggles for existence within the material world. These senses are compared to rogues and thieves within the forest, for they take away a man's knowledge, placing him in a network of nescience. Thus, the senses are like rogues and thieves who plunder one's spiritual knowledge. Over and above this, there are family members, wife and children, who are exactly like ferocious animals in the forest. The business of such ferocious animals is to eat a man's flesh. The living entity allows oneself to be attacked by jackals and foxes, known as the wife and children, and thus one's real spiritual life is finished. In the forest of material life, everyone is envious just like mosquitoes, while rats and mice are always creating disturbances. Everyone in this material world is placed in many awkward positions and surrounded by envious people and disturbing animals. The result is that the living entity in the material world is always plundered and bitten by many types of living entities. Nonetheless, despite these disturbances, one does not want to give up family life, and so one continues his or her fruitive activities in an attempt to become happy in the future. One thus becomes more and more entangled in the results of karma, and one is thus forced to act impiously. The witnesses of the living entity are the sun during the day and the moon during the night. The demigods also act as witnesses, but the conditioned soul thinks that one's attempt at sense gratification are not being witnessed by anyone. Sometimes when one is detected, one temporarily renounces everything. But due to one's great attachment for the body, one's renunciation is given up before one can attain perfection. In this material world, there are many envious people. There is the tax-exacting government, which is compared to the owl. And there are invisible crickets that create unbearable sounds. The conditioned soul is certainly greatly harassed by the agents of material nature. But his or her intelligence is lost due to undesirable association. In the attempt to gain relief from the disturbances of material existence, one falls victim to so-called yogis, sadhus, and so-called incarnations who can display some magic but who do not understand devotional service. Sometimes the conditioned soul is bereft of all money, and consequently one becomes unkind to the family members. In this material world, there is not even a pinch of actual happiness for which the conditioned soul is longing for life after life. The government officials are like carnivorous rakshasas who exact heavy taxes for the maintenance of the government. The hard-working conditioned soul is very saddened due to these heavy taxes. The path of fruitive activities leads to difficult mountains, and sometimes the conditioned soul wants to cross these mountains, but one is never successful, and consequently, one becomes more and more aggrieved and disappointed. Becoming materially and financially embarrassed, the conditioned soul unnecessarily chastises one's own family. In the material condition, there are four principal needs, out of which sleep is compared to the python. When asleep, the conditioned soul completely forgets his or her real existence, and in sleep, one does not feel the tribulations of material life. Sometimes, being in need of money, the conditioned soul steals and cheats, although one may apparently be associated with devotees for spiritual advancement. One's only business is getting out of the clutches of Maya, but due to improper guidance, one becomes more and more entangled in material dealings. This material world is simply an embarrassment and is composed of tribulations presented as happiness, distress, attachment, enmity, and envy. On the whole, it is simply full of tribulation and misery. When a person loses one's intelligence due to attachment to wife and sex, one's entire consciousness becomes polluted, and one thus only thinks of the association of women. The great time factor, which is like a serpent, takes away everyone's life, including that of Lord Brahma, as well as the insignificant ant. Sometimes the conditioned soul tries to save him or herself from inexorable, relentless time, and thus takes shelter of some bogus savior. Unfortunately, the bogus savior cannot even save himself. How then can he protect others? The bogus saviors do not care for bona fide knowledge received from qualified brahmanas and Vedic sources. Their only business is indulging in sex and recommending sexual freedom even for widows. Thus, they are like monkeys in the forest of material enjoyment. In this way, Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains the material forest and its difficult path to Maharaj Parikshit.
Namaste Narasimhaya. Praklad Aklad Dayane. Hiranya Kashipur Vakshaha. Shila Tankan Kalaye. Ito Nrisingha Parato Nrisingha. Yato Yato Yamitato Nrisingho. Bahi Nrisingha Hridaye Nrisingha. Nrisingham Adding Sharanam Kapaji. Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Narasimham Adin Sharanam Prapadye. Narasimham Adin Sharanam Prapadye. Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam Adbhuta Sringam. Dalita Hiranya Kashipu Tanu Bringam. Keshavadritta Narahadi Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadish. Jaya Jagadish. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare.
Chapter 15, The Glories of the Descendants of King Priyavrata. In this chapter, the descendants of Bharata Maharaj and many other kings are described. The son of Maharaj Bharata was named Sumati. He followed the path of liberation given by Rishabhadeva. Some people mistakenly thought Sumati to be the direct incarnation of Lord Buddha. The son of Sumati was Devatajit, and his son was Devajumna. Devajumna's son was Paramashti, and his son was Pratiha. Pratiha was a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu, and he had three sons named Pratiharta, Prastota, and Udgata. Pratiharta had two sons named Aja and Bhuma. The son of Bhuma was Udgita, and the son of Udgita was Prastava. The son of Prastava was Vibhu, and the son of Vibhu was Prithushena, and his son was named Nakta. The wife of Nakta, Druti, gave birth to Gaya, who was a very famous and saintly king. Actually, King Gai was a partial incarnation of Lord Vishnu, and because of his great devotion to Lord Vishnu, he received the title Mahapurusha. King Gaya had sons named Chitraratha, Sumati, and Avarodhana. The son of Chitraratha was the emperor Samrat, and his son was Marichi, whose son was Bindu. Bindu's son was Madhu, and Madhu's son was Viravrata. Viravrata's two sons were Manthu and Pramanthu, and the son of Manthu was Bhauvana. The son of Bhavana was Tvashta, and the son of Tvashta was Viraja, who glorified the whole dynasty. Viraja had 100 sons and one daughter. And of these, the son named Sartajit became very famous.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Chapter 16, A Description of Jambudvipa. While describing the character of Maharaj Priyavrata and his descendants, Shukadeva Goswami also described Meru Mountain and the planetary system known as Bhumandala. Bhumandala is like a lotus flower, and its seven islands are compared to the whirl of that lotus. The place known as Jambudvipa is in the middle of that whirl. In Jambudvipa there is a mountain known as Sumeru, which is made of solid gold. The height of this mountain is 84,000 yojanas, of which 16,000 are below the earth. Its width is estimated to be 32,000 yojanas at its summit and 16,000 yojanas at its foot. One yojana equals 8 miles. This king of mountains, Sumeru, is the support of the planet Earth. On the southern side of the land known as Ilavritavarsha are the mountains known as Himavan, Himakuta, and Nishadha, and on the northern side are the mountains Nila, Shweta, and Shringa. Similarly, on the eastern and western sides, there are Malyavan and Gandhamadana, two large mountains. Surrounding Sumeru Mountain are four more mountains known as Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda, each 10,000 yojanas long and 10,000 yojanas high. On these four mountains, there are trees which are 1,100 yojanas high, namely a mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, and a banyan tree. And there are also lakes full of milk, honey, sugarcane juice, and pure water. These lakes can fulfill all of one's desires. There are also gardens named Nandana, Chitraratha, Vibrajaka, and Sarvatobhadra. On the side of Suparshva Mountain is a kadamba tree with streams of honey flowing from its hollows. And on Kumuda Mountain there is a banyan tree named Shatavalsha, from whose roots flow rivers containing milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. Surrounding Sumeru Mountain, like filaments of the whorl of a lotus, are 20 mountain ranges such as Kuranga, Kurara, Kusumbha, Vaikunka, and Trikuta. To the east of Sumeru are the mountains Jathara and Devakuta. To the west are Pavana and Pariyatra. To the south, Kailas and Karavira. And to the north are Trishringa and Makara. These eight mountains are about 18,000 yojanas long, 2,000 yojanas wide, and 2,000 yojanas high. On the summit of Mount Sumeru is Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma. Each of its sides is 10,000 yojanas long. Surrounding Brahmapuri are the cities of King Indra and seven other demigods. These cities are one-fourth the size of Brahmapuri.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Chapter 17, The Descent of the River Ganga. This 17th chapter describes the origin of the Ganga River and how it flows in and around Ilavritavarsha. There is also a description of the prayers Lord Shiva offers to Lord Sankarsana, who is part of the quadruple expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Vishnu once approached Bali Maharaj while the king was performing a sacrifice. The Lord appeared before him as Trivikrama, or Vamana Deva, and begged alms from the king in the form of 3 steps of land. With 2 steps, Lord Vamana covered all 3 planetary systems and pierced the covering of the universe with the toes of his lotus foot. A few drops of water from the causal ocean leaked through this hole and fell on the head of Lord Shiva, where they remained for 1,000 millenniums. These drops of water are the sacred Ganga River. It first flows onto the heavenly planets, which are located on the soles of Lord Vishnu's feet. Ganga is known by many names, such as the Bhagirathi and Janavi. It purifies Dhruvaloka and the planets of the 7 sages, because both Dhruva and the sages have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. The Ganga River, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, inundates the heavenly planets, especially the moon, and then flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru. Here, the river divides into 4 branches, known as Sita, Alakananda, Chakshu, and Bhadra, which then flow down to the ocean of salt water. The branch known as Sita flows through Shekhara Parvata and Gandhamadana Parvata and then flows down to Bhadrashva Varsha, where it mixes with the ocean of salt water in the west. The Chakshu branch flows through Malyavangiri, and after reaching Ketumala Varsha, mixes with the ocean of salt water in the west. The branch known as Bhadra flows onto Mount Meru, Mount Kumuda, and the Nila, Shweta, and Sringavan mountains before it reaches Kurudesha, where it flows into the ocean of salt water in the north. The branch known as Alakananda flows through Brahmalaya, crosses over many mountains, including Hemakuta and Himakuta, and then reaches Bharatavarsha, where it flows into the southern side of the ocean of salt water. Many other rivers and their branches flow through the nine different varshas. The tract of land known as Bharatavarsha is the field of fruitive activities, while the other eight varshas are for persons who are meant to enjoy heavenly comfort. In each of these eight beautiful provinces, the celestial denizens enjoy various standards of material comfort and pleasure, and a different incarnation of Godhead distributes His mercy in each of the nine varshas of Jambudvipa. In Lavrita Varsha, Lord Shiva is the only male. There he lives with his wife Bhavani, who is attended by many maidservants. If any other male enters that province, Bhavani curses him to become a woman. Lord Shiva worships Lord Sankarsana by offering various prayers, one of which is as follows. My dear Lord, please liberate all your devotees from material life and bind all the non-devotees to the material world. Without your mercy, no one can be released from the bondage of material existence.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Chapter 18, The Prayers Offered to the Lord by the Residents of Jambudvipa. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes the different varshas of Jambudvipa as well as the incarnation of the Supreme Lord worshipped in each varsha. The predominating ruler of Bhadrashva Varsha is Bhadrashva, and he and his many servants always worship the incarnation known as Lord Hayagriva. At the end of each kalpa or day of Brahma, when the demon Ajnana steals the Vedic knowledge, Lord Hayagriva appears and preserves the Vedic knowledge. Then Hayagriva delivers the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. In the land known as Harivarsha, the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj worships Narsinga Dev. The appearance of Narsinga Dev is described nicely in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, the inhabitants of Harivarsha always worship Narsinga Deva in order to receive from him the benediction of being engaged in his loving service. In the tract of land known as Ketumalavarsha, Lord Hrishikesha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in the form of Cupid. The goddess of fortune and the demigods living there engage in his service day and night. Manifesting himself in 16 parts, Lord Hrishikesha is the source of all encouragement, strength, and influence. The conditioned living entity has the defect of being always fearful, but simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can rid him or herself of this defect of material life. Therefore, the Lord alone can be addressed as Master. In the tract of land known as Ramyakavarsha, Manu and all the inhabitants worship Matsyadeva to this very day. Matsyadeva, whose form is pure goodness, is the ruler and maintainer of the whole universe, and as such, he is the director of all the demigods, headed by Indra Deva, King of Heaven. In Hiranmayavarsha, Lord Vishnu has assumed the form of a tortoise, known as Kurma Murti, and he is worshipped there by Aryama, along with all the other residents. Similarly, in the tract of land known as Uttara Kuru Varsha, Lord Sri Hari has assumed the form of a boar, and in that form, Varahadeva accepts service from all the inhabitants living there. All the information in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam can be fully realized by one who associates with devotees of the Lord. Therefore, in the Shastras, it is recommended that one associate with devotees. This is even better than residing on the banks of the Ganga. In the hearts of pure devotees reside all good sentiments, as well as all the superior qualities of the demigods. In the hearts of non-devotees, however, there cannot be any good qualities, for such people are simply enchanted by the Lord's external illusory energy. Following in the footsteps of devotees, one should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only worshipable deity. Everyone should accept this proposal and thus worship the Lord. As stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya. The purpose of studying all Vedic literature is to worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if after studying all the Vedic literature, one does not awaken his or her dormant love for the Supreme Lord, then it is to be understood that one has simply labored for nothing. Shrama evahi kevalam. One has simply wasted one's time. Lacking attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one remains attached to family life in this material world. Thus, the lesson of this chapter is that one should get out of family life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord.
Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Hari Ma. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Hari Ma. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare.
Chapter 19, A Description of the Island of Jambudvipa. This chapter describes the glories of Bharatavarsha, and it also describes how Lord Ramachandra is being worshipped in the tract of land known as Kimpurushavarsha. The inhabitants of Kimpurushavarsha are fortunate because they worship Lord Ramachandra with his faithful servant, Hanuman. Lord Ramachandra exemplifies an incarnation of Godhead who descends for the mission of Paritranaya Sadhunang Binashaya Cha Dushkitam, that is, protecting the devotees and destroying the miscreants. Lord Ram exhibits the actual purpose of an incarnation of Godhead, and the devotees take the opportunity to offer loving transcendental service to him. So one should surrender fully to the Lord, forgetting one's so-called material happiness, opulence, and education, which are not at all useful for pleasing the Lord. For the Lord is pleased only by the process of surrender unto him. When Devarshi Narada descended to instruct the Manu named Saravani, he described the opulence of Bharatavarsha, or India. Saravani, Manu, and the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the origin of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and who is always worshipped by self-realized souls. In the planet known as Bharatavarsha, there are many rivers and mountains, as there are in other tracts of land. Yet, Bharatavarsha has special significance, because in this tract of land there exists the Vedic principle of Varnashrama Dharma, which divides society into four varnas and four ashramas. Furthermore, it is the opinion of Narada Muni that even if there is some temporary disturbance in the execution of Varnashram Dharma principles, still they can be revived at any moment. The effect of adhering to the institution of Varnashrama is gradual elevation to the spiritual platform and liberation from material bondage. And by following the principles of Varnashrama Dharma, one gets the opportunity to associate with devotees. Such association gradually awakens one's dormant propensity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also frees one from all the basic principles of sinful life. Then one gets the opportunity to offer unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Because of this opportunity, the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha are praised even in the heavenly planets. Even in the topmost planet of this universe, Brahmaloka, the position of Bharatavarsha is discussed with great relish. All the conditioned living entities are evolving within the universe in different planets and different species of life. Thus, one may be elevated to Brahmaloka, but then one must again descend to earth, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the words Abrahma Bhuvanau Loka Punar Avartanarjuna. If those who live in Bharatavarsha rigidly follow the principles of Varnashrama Dharma and then develop their dormant Krishna consciousness, they need not return to this material world after death. Any place where one cannot hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from realized souls, even if that place be Brahmaloka, is not very congenial for the living entity. If one who has taken birth in the land of Bharatavarsha as a human being does not take advantage of the opportunity for spiritual elevation, one's position is certainly most miserable. In the land known as Bharatavarsha, even if one is a Sarvakama Bhakta, a devotee seeking fulfillment of some material desire, still one can be freed from all material desires by association with devotees. And ultimately, one becomes a pure devotee, returning home back to Godhead without difficulty. At the end of this chapter, Sri Shukadeva Goswami describes to Maharaj Parikshit the 8 sub-islands within the island of Jambudvipa.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.